Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I certainly look forward to spending some time with you again. We're talking about natural versus supernatural. We've been kind of talking about this for quite a few sessions, but today it continues to fit into this category. And that is, we want to help develop a very tangible relationship with God so that we can see how real it is, just like with Jesus and his Father, that we also can relate to God on a much more tangible, real, and a deeper level. We want to get our prayers answered. And number three, we want to have testimonies that we can share with other people. As you know, we've been always quoting at the very top of our broadcast or this video, Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible. And it states this way again, and Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Again, reiterating to you, especially if there's someone, this is the first video that you've seen. Notice in those passages, 27 to 30, Matthew chapter 11 in the Message Bible, how much Jesus emphasizes getting the satisfaction of your relationship by coming to him, getting away with him, as he said, or keeping company with him. In other words, we ought to be developing as much as we do an understanding of the scriptures. We ought to be relating them constantly to Jesus and actually spending time with him where he becomes real to us. Well, we left off talking about John and chapter 3, verse 31 to 33, where the John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, and he did make some comments that were really amazing. We'll just go over this very briefly again. It says, the one who comes from above is head and shoulders over other messengers. Remember that, the one that comes from above. We're going to touch that in just a moment in John chapter 3, in an earlier passage where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He says, the earth-born is earthbound and speaks earth language. The heaven-born is in a league of his own. And as we've talked before, Jesus was not in a league of his own all by himself. Now, he did come from heaven, and he lived out of heaven. And at that time, men were not born again. But we're going to explain this today through Jesus talking with Nicodemus, how that when Jesus came, he made a provision so that men could become born again. We'll share that in just a moment. If we make Jesus be special in this area all by himself, then we discredit ourselves. Jesus came as the prototype to a brand new kind of people, and those would be called Christians, or those who were born again. So when we're talking about this heaven-born individual, we're also talking about us. And again, we'll explain that in just a little bit further. But notice what John said in verse 32. He sets out evidence of what he saw and heard in heaven. So if he came from heaven, isn't it normal for Jesus then to be able to relate to heaven by hearing and seeing what's going on in heaven and then bringing that truth, that reality to the earth? Well, this is very, very normal, and it's supposed to be normal for us as well. Now, accepting this as truth is one step closer for you to be able to experience Jesus in a very real way. Seeing Jesus as someone who's in a league of his own, and he's the only one that could experience the Father like this, is what discredits yourself. And that's why in our opening verses there, Matthew 11, 27 to 30, in the Message, Jesus said, I'm willing to go over it line by line with anyone that's willing to listen. So he wasn't keeping it to himself. He wanted us to have the same kind of unique relationship with God, where father and son, father and daughter, or a children to their father, there was tangibility, just like today in our life as well, with our own children or with our parents. So going on a little further, it said, no one wants to deal with these facts. In other words, people don't want to know that there's something more. Do you realize that most people just want to be left alone? They don't really want help as much as they say they do. They just want their life to be a little bit better. They don't want to change. Leave me alone. Just make my life better. Well, there's nothing about that that is a prescription for you working with God. Everything is about repentance, recognizing you are not where you ought to be and your heart is humble or desirous of submitting unto God and letting God help you. That's why grace is able to work with those that are humble, because you're actually wanting more. You're not wanting to stay where you're at. Those that are proud, they've already got it all figured out, and God can't work with those because there's no window of opportunity for God to help someone that doesn't want help. So when we're looking at this, we can see people don't like to find out that there's more. Many people just want to be left alone. Don't tell me there's more, because then I'll have to be responsible to it. I like it where I'm at. I can just live where I'm at. Even if I'm ignorant about things, that's fine with me, because I don't want the responsibility to be held accountable to knowing that there's more and having to actually pursue what is more. That's a very interesting thought, but it's very true for most people. It goes on to say, but anyone who examines this evidence will come to stake his life on this, that God himself is true, or true, or truth means reality. In other words, what we've just seen is the real reality. You know, Jesus would walk into a place and people would come up to him, like some of those that were blind would come up and they touched the hem of his garment. He'd say, what do you want, Lord, that we're master, rabbi, that we might see? He said, be it according to your belief, or be it as you believe. And people would then begin to see. Jesus looked at a man with a withered hand and he said, stretch out your hand. He didn't say, give me the withered hand. He said, you stretch it out, because in the presence of Jesus, living from that place which is above, what was normal for him was hands that worked, eyes that would see, legs that would walk, and so on and so forth. And he approached every situation from heaven to the earth instead of from the earth to heaven. You know, if we're always looking for heaven to come and bail us out, then we obviously don't see our position in Christ. When you see your position as though it's already finished, already done, already completed, it's very interesting how you can approach your crisis with a very different type of perspective. It's one that wins instead of one that's trying to just get by. Amen. Let's go a little bit further here while we have a little bit more time. And it says in John chapter 3, and this again will help us to see a little bit of what we were sharing before. No one wants to see this evidence, and you'll see it right here. In the message, it says, verse 19 to 21, this is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for darkness. Why'd they run for darkness? Because they didn't want to be exposed as to see what they were and who they were and what they were contemplating. They didn't want that kind of exposure. So they ran from the light instead of running to the light. It's the light that heals, that blesses, that helps. These mentalities haven't really changed today, folks. Just because it's written in the Bible 2,000 years ago and Jesus is speaking this about humanity, I want you to know it really does apply today. He went on to say they went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. Wouldn't you rather let God expose your heart for what it is? See where you're at. Open up your heart for God to make the proper changes and then move you on to a different path where you have a different outcome. Rather than hiding yourself because maybe you are ashamed or maybe there's a sense of condemnation. Well, you know, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved. It goes on to say, but anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work that it is. Oh my goodness, let's just always keep this particular position. And that is, your heart always wants the God light, the God reality. Even if momentarily it is painful. You know, my life isn't perfect and I'm seeking these things. I'm continuing to keep my heart open to the grace of God everywhere. And I'm learning and I'm developing. And you know what? There's probably some of you that could go a whole lot faster than me. Maybe you don't have as much of the religion to erase that I do in my past. But I want you to know there's no test. So whether you're going at a slower speed or at a faster speed, if you're constantly moving forward, then your heart desires God reality and God light. You won't resist God working in your heart and even bringing exposure to your heart. It's not about sin. It's about the choices that we make. It's about the perspective of life that we agree with that causes us to actually make the choices we do and have the outcomes that we have. And if there are outcomes in your life that you don't necessarily agree with or don't like or don't want, I remember Brother Hagin years ago, he would say this very often: if you don't like where you're at today, go back to checking up on what you've been saying and what you've been believing, because you created it yourself. In other words, very simply, the things that you speak and the things that you believe come from the perspective that you have accepted as real. And that perspective that you believe to be real, even if it's not real, even if it's a false sense of reality. For instance, the doctors say you've got cancer in your body and that's why you have pain. And your mind registers, yes, I do have pain. And yes, there is a growth in my body. And yes, I'm feeling weak. And yes, I've been losing weight. And it must be exactly what the doctors are saying. Or nowadays, you don't even have to go to the doctor. You can just go to Google and Google your symptoms. And all of a sudden, there it is, a whole list of diseases or problems or crisis that must be what you have. And if that becomes your reality, then you'll begin to speak it, you'll believe it, and you will create the reality itself. What if you could look at something that's not of God and say, you know, I don't believe that to be true? That's why, see, what is supernatural and what is natural is important that we have the right perspective. If you believe what is of the world, what is of Satan, or what is of sickness and disease or trouble or calamity to be of this natural world, well, then what you're doing is you're inviting it to become what is normal and regular and to be expected. But if you believe it to be very unnatural to someone that's connected to God, because what's natural to you is everything that comes with Christ. Christ is in you, Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. In other words, now that he's living in you, he brought everything with him that would make you just like himself so that you can walk and live in his glory. Or you could say it another way. Now you get to use the presence and the power and the anointing of God and walk in the very peace and the love and the faithfulness and kindness and the resolve and the long-suffering, all these tools, all this equipment God has brought through Christ to live in you so that you're reality can change, and so that truth or reality in heaven can lead you into a completely different outcome. This is where we're all headed. I trust it's what you desire, because it is, of course, what I desire as well. Now, we're going to get over there into John chapter 3, 1 through 18, but we'll save that for next week, as we've just kind of started again, you know, picking up some of these. As you know, and you can see, sometimes I end up having the same shirt on. It's because we might do 2, 3, or 4 of these in a row, the Adventures in Grace, and then maybe we'll change some shirts and do some more. I'm not able every single week to do something because we travel so much. But whether we do a bunch together or whether we do them spaced out, thank God these little videos are helping you to change your perspective of what's real. And that is what is necessary. As you begin to see it differently, you begin to talk about it differently, you begin to believe it differently, the outcome will become different as well, until what's normal and regular to you is just being connected to God on a daily basis. Well, we read one of the testimonies last time. We're going to read one more of the stories from this wonderful lady here that just wrote in. Her name is Becky, and she wrote some things to us. And We just encourage you, go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com. That's our email to our ministry. And if you want to find it and you're afraid you didn't get it that first time, just go to jimhockaday.com. You can look up our email and email us some of your grace stories. When I say grace stories, somebody say, I don't understand that. Very simply, grace is his unmerited favor. It's God's ability to do what you can't do for yourself. And I also add on to that, it's the influence of God in your life on a daily basis that we want to cooperate with, acknowledge, recognize, and then give thanks and praise to God, because the more that we do so, the more that we will create a different perspective where you begin to see God doing things for you all the time. Do you know it's very possible God's been doing all kinds of things for you today and didn't even notice? You didn't recognize it? Well, there's some things today, even in my conversations with the Lord, he brought me right back to some things that were so simple and brought encouragement to my heart about future outcomes in some areas where I've been seeking the Lord. And do you know, it's just as much the influence of God and his grace to help me in something like that than it is anything else. In fact, we'll save this testimony for the next time, because that grace story is just as real to my heart as it is to see God give me a parking spot or God bring me to a place of business and all of a sudden, lo and behold, they had a sale on that day that just allowed me to actually get what I needed for a whole lot less. Or the presence of God coming like a beautiful breeze on a clear night where you can just tell that is the Lord and that is so wonderful. Lord, thank you for that breeze. The simplest of little things that God will do to orchestrate your day. Just telling you, no, go back into the house and get that extra item to bring to work. And you found out once you got to work where nothing seemed to be different, that lo and behold, there was an accident that happened just a couple of minutes before or a couple of minutes after, and you were able to avoid that because the Lord showed you that you needed to go. And to you, it might not have even been the voice of God. It might just been a simple little prompting like, hey, I just feel like I need to go get that. Oh, I've got time. I'm going to go in and get it. Just the little tiny things that all add up to, you know what? He's really in your life, and he's working on your behalf to draw you into a relationship, like we said earlier, and Jesus said it best in Matthew 11, 27 to 30, where the uniqueness of this relationship is that you know him and he knows you. In other words, you could say it like this, you get to experience God like God gets to experience you, where you keep company with him and everything is light and easy instead of hard, difficult, it's been a rough day, where you end up actually loving every day because the Lord is in it, empowering you to prosper in all things. Amen. Well, thank God for the ability to get on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed, go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and hit subscribe, and then these videos will just come up on your feed a whole lot easier. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page, and you can follow us, or as I said earlier, just go to jimhockaday.com. By all means, share with us your testimonies from these videos that have been inspiring you to find God everywhere, all the time. Until next time, we'll see you again on Adventures in Grace. We'll